Community Connections CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is September the 1st, 2023. It's the end of meteorological summer, but still 3 weeks to go in astronomical summer. And it looks like the weather's going to cooperate for, well, the weekend anyway. It's going to be nice and hot, and hopefully it'll be nice and hot next weekend as well, because we've got the Waterloo Book Fest. I'll be talking to Vanessa Ritchie-Thode. We'll be talking to her in just a bit. Right now we're going to listen to Quiet in the Land. We're going to play a little bit of bluegrass music to take us out of the summer.
Stay away from those fickle lights of highway 79. Dark and
stay away, don't close your eyes.
quiet in the land, a nice bit of bluegrass music to take us out of the end of summer. And to take us into fall, we've got Vanessa Ritchie-Thode, who's here to talk about Waterloo Book Fest, which is coming up next weekend, Saturday, September the 9th, from, what, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 1 o'clock to 7 p.m.
And that's taking place in Waterloo Public Square.
It is.
Yeah. Tell me about Book Fest. What happens at a Book Fest?
At a Book Fest, a lot of local authors get together and sell books.
Hmm. Seems like something for the bibliophile in me.
Yes, if you like books and you like supporting local, it's a great event.
Yeah. So how many authors do you expect to have there?
Around 70.
70 authors, all from the local Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Waterloo region area.
Yes, people with connections to Waterloo region. Either they lived here, they worked here, they're currently living or working here, they grew up here, students.
Okay. Yeah. So not necessarily people who are here today, but who have connection to the community.
Yes.
Yeah, very good for community connections, that is.
It is.
You have a rundown of some of the names there, or should we just look that up online at some point?
Yes, all of the names are online on our website. It's on the KW mm-hmm. Writers Alliance. I think it's just kwwritersalliance.com. Mm-hmm. And then we have a tab for BookFest with all of our names. We have storytellers as well.
Oh.
And they're listed. It's going to be wild. There's just so much going on. Our two headlining authors are Dr. Katie Mack from Perimeter Institute, we've got E.K. Johnson who writes Star Wars, among other things. Check out her other work as well, but she's most known as writing Star Wars books.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that people were allowed to do that kind of thing. Isn't there some sort of copyright?
Yes. I don't believe she owns the copyright to her books that she writes on Star Wars. She would know better than that. I don't write IP.
No.
Yes, it's tricky.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. And I met Dr. Mack last year, bought her book.
Nice.
And I got her to sign it. I feel responsible for her being on Twitter. Just about the same time that I started following her on Twitter, she moved to Waterloo Region. She's now one of the researchers at Perimeter Institute, I think.
That's correct, yes. Yeah, Katie moved here recently. Katie was actually around at the very inception of KW Writers Alliance as we were moving from being sort of an offshoot of NaNoWriMo to our own thing. She was working on her book, doing her proofreads, and was looking for people to write with. And one of the members reached out to her and said, hey, come on out.
So looking for people to write with, and that's something that you do with KW Writers Alliance?
It is one of the things that we do, especially during the pandemic. We were doing a lot of virtual write-ins, so just getting together on things like Zoom and writing together. So you'd have faces on your screen. Everyone was quiet and we were just typing away.
Just for the companionship, not so much to talk about what you're writing about.
A little bit of both. The companionship was definitely important, especially during lockdown. That was really hard on everybody. It's nice to be able to chat writing with other writers.
Mm-hmm. And this started up when? Just at the beginning of the pandemic, you said.
Yes. In the year or two leading up to the pandemic, we had been a group that was an offshoot of NaNoWriMo, meeting every Monday at 7 p.m. at the Cafe 1842.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just get together and write. And sometimes we filled the cafe. I'm sure it was weird to people who weren't writers to walk in. And there's people, you know, laptops covering all the tables and everybody's silent because we were all writing. We do take breaks and chat and then it gets more boisterous, but when people are focused on their writing, it gets very quiet and can be a little eerie.
Yeah. You mentioned NaNoWriMo. I was there for some of that. Can you tell me about NaNoWriMo? What is that?
Yes, I remember you being there. So NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month, which is an event that happens every November, and the challenge is to write a 50,000-word novel in the month of November.
And that is very, very hard, because I tried that one year and got all of 300 words done in the entire month. And, that's not novel-sized material.
It's great flash fiction-sized, though.
Yeah, well, perhaps. I don't think that's a flash fiction month, though.
No, it's not.
Is NaNoWriMo still around? Is it still?
It is, yes. This year is my first year not being the organizer for events in a very long time. But it is still around. It's an international event, and it just has volunteers called Municipal Liaisons, or MLs for short. And I was the ML for a decade-ish. I have forgotten. It's lost in the midst of time. But and just organizing things where we could get together to write in various locations throughout the community. It's organized. There's a head office in San Francisco, I think. So they sort of facilitate everything. But yeah, the in-person stuff is done through local volunteers.
Right. And so went from NaNoWriMo to the KW Writers Alliance, and that's sort of a continuation.
It is, yes. It started with Caroline Topperman and I. We met by chance. I was doing a final Friday through Create Waterloo, and I was the only author there. And she just happened to walk by. She's an author as well. And she said, "Oh my goodness, there's an author. I didn't know there were authors here." And I get that a lot. Yeah. I didn't know there were authors here. It's a big region. There's a lot of authors here. Yeah. And we got to talking about how can we do more for the authors here, the published ones, the unpublished ones, the hobby writers. What can we do to bring everybody together and sort of unite them? And so we were toying around with this idea when the pandemic hit. And our first thing was, well, let's give people a space to keep writing together, even though, you know, lockdown.
Yeah. And so you took over Cafe 1842?
We did, every Monday night for a while there. I don't know if people are going back. I personally am still sort of half on lockdown myself.
Right.
We're a medically vulnerable family, so we're being very, very careful. But I know there are some people who are going back out again, and there have been community center meetups, and there are things happening in the community, and we do try to keep on our website for KW Writers Alliance events that people are organizing themselves so that people can join in.
Right. And that goes on all year round, not just in November.
Correct. Yes. That was our big thing, was people write all year round. They need support all year round, and just trying to have something more permanent to unify the community.
Yeah. Obviously, I find writing really, really hard work, and I can see what sort of supports people might need. What sort of support would KW Writers Alliance offer?
At the in-person meetups and the virtual meetups, when we're chatting, there's a lot of moral support sometimes, because it can be very difficult, very demoralizing, especially once people get to the point where they're sending their stories out for publication and you're starting to get rejections. That can be hard. When you get stuck, a lot of people think they're, you know, they're hacks, they're terrible, my writing sucks, and just, you know, no, it doesn't. Keep working. And giving people encouragement. We do a lot of that. We have resources on our website for guides to publishing, guides to improving your craft. We do workshops now, not very often, but a few here and there. We're trying to get more off the ground so that we can help newer authors improve their craft, figure out the ever-changing landscape of the publishing industry. It moves fast and slow.
Yeah, I can see it's an individual book getting published can take an awfully long time.
Yes, through traditional channels, it can take 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. But on the other hand, the technology advances way more rapidly than that.
Yes.
So do you have a lot of authors going the traditional publisher route?
We have a fair number who are trying, yes. There's a lot more success to be had with smaller presses, I'm finding. And we have a lot of our authors are small press authors. We do have a few traditional published authors in our midst, like Katie and E.K. Johnson and Erin Bowe. Yeah.
Erin Bowe's a big name. She's often at the library.
She is, yes. She was involved with BookFest last year. I don't think she was available this year, but she's been helping support us. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how about independent publishing? People going out and doing print on demand and the like?
We do have a lot of authors who are choosing that route. I'm one of them now. I sort of gave up on traditional publishing as it became longer and longer. And during the pandemic, the industry really took a hit. Things really got more difficult after that. And I am impatient. So I do NaNoWriMo every year. I tend to write a book a year because of that. And so I had quite the backlog of books I've been querying. And I just got to the point where my craft is pretty good now. It's pretty solid. I've been at it for a while, and I wanted the books out there. And the nice thing about self-publishing is the control, is that I control the schedule and I can put them out as fast as I want. So I am actually releasing 3 books this year.
Yeah. And then the distribution for that comes all through you. People have to contact you directly to get a hold of a book.
It can be like that, yes. We can use other platforms. Ingram Spark is one of them to get physical copies of books into bookstores. So you can get my books through Indigo, which is really nice. Ingram Spark is the distributor that bigger presses use to distribute books. Okay. They're a major name in book distribution, and they are available to self-published authors.
Okay. Didn't realize that the big distributors would deal with the independent authors as well.
Yeah, they do. They like money, I guess.
I guess they do.
So, yep, they will deal with us. They take their cut, but my books are available. The libraries can get them. I know that WPL recently bought a copy of my first book. Yeah, it makes it really nice. It is a lot of work. I will say that it's a lot of work, and it can be very stressful. But it is nice that there are the options there so that you can put out a professional book that is indistinguishable from a traditionally published one.
Right.
If you do the work.
Yeah. And these are generally the soft covers. Bigger than paperbacks, but not hardcover books.
No, they're not hardcovers. You can get hardcover books. Those are very expensive and not very cost efficient at the indie level. I know that some authors do them as sort of like a reward for their super fans, where they will do a very luxury edition, like leather bound and illustrated and that sort of thing.
I guess that sort of thing goes over better in larger runs, several hundred.
Copies. There's an expectation of having a certain number instead of print on demand. So usually it's a Kickstarter reward, which is growing quite a bit in indie circles and traditional published circles. Brandon Sanderson, who is a big name in fantasy, broke Kickstarter recently with a $41 million Kickstarter campaign.
Holy moly.
Yes. He wrote 5 books over the pandemic. Good for him. I wrote 0. And he just decided to publish them himself. And he ran a Kickstarter for it for 5 books. And his fans are very ravenous and they ate it up. And $41 million later, I don't envy the people who are handling shipping for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if there are authors out there who find this intriguing and interesting and want to start off their own independent publishing business, is that something that KW Writers Alliance can provide some guidance on?
It is, yes. It's not just Caroline and I. We're sort of the organizers, but we have so many authors in our midst, and we have a Facebook group and a Discord server where people can ask questions and just get advice from the community. So if there's something I don't know or Caroline doesn't know, there will be somebody in the Facebook server or the Discord group who knows the answer to the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's community help. It's mutual help, not so much that there's a formal structure for people providing guidance and formal education in the publishing business.
Absolutely, yes. We're very informal. We do have some formal things that we will point people to if we think that's what they're looking for. It just depends on what an author needs at any specific time. Sometimes newer authors just need some encouragement or someone to have a look at their work and be like, yes, you're on the right track, keep going. Sometimes they have a finished product and they're trying to find an editor. So we can guide them to either, my friend is an editor, or, here's Editors Canada, where you can search this whole entire list, which you can, by the way, search through editors to find them a good fit.
Okay. I know I've got some writers in the family.
Very good.
Who are not the most extroverted authors. And so I think that knowing that it's an informal group that's friendly and welcoming is good for those shy authors to know about.
Oh, absolutely. I feel sometimes like Caroline and I are the only extroverts of the group. writers do tend to be very solitary, very introverted. And so we keep that in mind. And that's why we do have the virtual components. And we're still using our Facebook group very heavily, even though, we're getting back to in-person events. We want people to have that option, because even if you can go to a cafe, maybe you don't want to because it's loud and noisy and you just want to be able to enjoy a little bit of company, a little bit of answers from the comfort of your own computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the same is true for coming out to a book fest, being a participating author in a book fest.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but let's listen to a track from Natalia Zook, who is a local KW musician. I think we're playing all KW content for the music today. We'll be right back talking to Vanessa Ritchie-Fode about Waterloo Book Fest. This is Natalia Zook.
I'm holding on to something I can't bear to look. Half of me is shaking while the other half is broke, but I'm on my knees asking for your love. I'm hanging on a feeling, I feel it in the air. Deep inside these ruins is a girl that's running scared, but I'm on my knees asking for your love. And just this time before you take her home, is it worth it? Give me a high before it's gone. Killing from within, still I'm on my knees asking for your love. And just this time before you take her home, is it worth it? Give me your heart before it's gone. Give me the
You by Natalia Zouk, brand new to CKMS. I hope to be playing that a lot more. In the studio with me is Vanessa Ritchie-Thode, who is organizing Waterloo Book Fest, which is taking place next week, Saturday, September the 9th, at 1 o'clock, starting at 1 and going right till 7 p.m. with various things. You've got two authors doing a presentation at 6 p.m. or so?
Yes, so we'll be having Q&As with Dr. Katie Mack and with E.K. Johnson. And I think Katie's going to read a little bit from her book, The End of the Universe, Astronomically Speaking, and then answer a few questions. And EK is going to be doing just straight Q&A, not the both of them together, but one and then the other, starting at 6 p.m. We'll have author readings going from 1 until 4 and storytellers performing from 4 until 6.
Ah, are they going to be reading from books or are they going to be telling stories in the traditional way of just telling stories?
Yes, yeah. So the four storytellers going from 4 to 6 are going to be traditional oral storytellers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a whole skill that, you know, probably takes years to acquire.
I assume so, yes. I can read from a book, but I don't think I could tell a story, and they'll be performing half an hour each. And yes, that's definitely not a skill that I have.
Yeah, exactly. You do have a skill, though, in setting up things like Book Fest. So when did you start organizing Book Fest for this year?
this year, we started talking with Create Waterloo. Well, we've been in contact with Create Waterloo since last Bookfest, and just shooting around ideas when we were going to do it, how to promote it better this year. We really started getting to work in the spring. We settled on a date and started looking for more authors. So Create Waterloo helped us a little bit. We had a sign-up form that we were pushing all over social media, and we tried to get some local politicians to help us out just to try and get the word out a little bit more. Nice. Because, yes, we had a lot of people last year after the fact when Create Waterloo, who is one of our sponsors, was putting up all of the imagery on their Instagram account of last year's Bookfest. People were like, I didn't even know about this. How do I get involved with this? And so that was how we started collecting some more, but realizing that we had missed a lot of people. I knew we had missed a lot of people because my involvement with NaNoWriMo, I know there's a couple thousand writers in the region. So I don't know that all of them are published. There's probably a fair few hobby writers, people still trying to break in and whatever. But I knew we have a lot of authors, and I've been trying to reach more of them as much as possible. So getting some more help and sooner with getting the word out helped a lot. So we've now got, like, I think we had 40 authors last year, and we have around 70 this year.
Yeah. For the size of Public Square in Waterloo, it wasn't heavily populated with authors last year.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. So Create Waterloo got some new tents. They were able to give us more space, so we were able to have more authors involved this
year. Create Waterloo is a city agency?
Yes, they're part of the City of Waterloo, and they run a lot of events like the Final Friday Art Markets, and they help with things like Buskerfest, and they have been supporting us quite a bit with Bookfest.
Okay. I know that I heard about this year's Bookfest just as the call to authors was closing.
Okay.
So had I been an author, I would have barely been able to squeak in under the wire.
Yes.
Is 70 sort of your limit for capacity?
I think that it might be, yes. We are sort of limited by what Create Waterloo can provide, and they only have a certain number of tables and tents, period. Once we've filled those, they're full, and I think 70 is probably our upper limit. So we would, this year we didn't have to turn anybody away, but I think in the future we might have to if we start collecting more and more authors interested, which I think is going to start happening.
We've got a waiting list now, though.
We do. We have two people on the waiting list right now, so there is...
Oh, those poor two people.
I know. I feel bad for them. Again, they found out after, you know, things had closed, and... Yeah.
There just isn't a tent and a table for them.
There just isn't. No, unfortunately, there isn't. I would love to try and get everybody in the region who's an author involved, but space is limited.
Yeah, have to go to someplace bigger. Binghamton's, perhaps.
Yes. I would love to someday get this into somewhere like Binghamton's or The Odd or something like that and just fill the arena with books and storytellers. And that's sort of my dream with it now. My first dream was, let's just get this off the ground. And now I'm like, how big can we go? But we'll see.
Yeah. When authors signed up, what obligations are there? Does this cost them to get in?
No, it's free. One of my big things is, you know, authors don't make a lot of money. Artists don't make a lot of money. And often events have a high fee that makes it very difficult to participate. So we are doing everything we can to remove that barrier.
Yeah, I know there was there's been other book fairs, book fests, where there's a charge to the authors. You know, they have to pay $30, $40 to have a table there. And some authors don't even make that back in book sales on that day.
Not necessarily, no. If you only sell one or two books, which, you know, we hope to have thousands of people out. We had about 2,000 people out last year. We're hoping we'll have more this year. Okay. Hopefully the weather's good and people come out. There's still no guarantee that people will buy the books. Actually, I was at an event last night. I did the Uptown Waterloo Night Market. One of the authors that I was with, we sat there all night long, and we were like, are we going to sell a book? Are we going to? And we did at the very last possible second. Each sold some books. Yeah. But there's never a guarantee, and it has nothing to do with the quality of your work or even your salesmanship. If you're, I know very good people who've, you know, excellent quality books, very interesting stories, very good at hand selling, and sometimes they don't sell anything.
Yeah. So, as much as I love reading books, buying books is sometimes a bit of an obstacle, you know, for both financial reasons and space reasons. I've got so much space to put books in. I've got lots of bookshelves, but they're full.
I understand.
And there's nothing sadder than culling your bookshelves and getting rid of books. So
it's true.
Yeah. So authors got in at no cost. What do authors have to bring?
Well, thanks to Create Waterloo, we have tents, tables, and chairs provided for us. The authors really just need to bring their books.
Okay. And I guess that's sort of the point behind having the book fest is the sales for the authors.
Yes.
Not so much that they're coming, people are coming there for workshops and the like.
Yeah. We're not doing any workshops or anything this year. We do have entertainment, as I said, in the forms of readings and Q&As and oral storytellers performing. We are looking to expand a little bit more later, but something like Word on the Street, where there is a more workshop panel interview sort of component to it, but that might also be something best left to Word on the Street. They do a great job with it.
Is that still happening in Waterloo?
Not in Waterloo, no. We did do some events, I think it was 2021, with the Toronto Word on the Street. We had a few local authors as sort of an offshoot.
I remember it being a thing maybe 10 years ago, and
it
kind of petered out.
It did, yes. I'm not entirely sure what happened there, but it may be too close to Toronto, too hard to compete with that one, I'm not sure.
Let me burden you with additional work, make it come back.
I am trying, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. So when authors come in, they bring their books. I've seen some authors that, have three or four books on their table, and it looks a little empty, and other authors who have brought an entire trailer of stuff, not just books, but display panels and bookmarks and bric-a-brac and knick-knacks and not just reading material.
Yes. The focus is on the books, but people do have sort of adjacent things. They have little art pieces or, bookmarks, as you said. We don't limit it. It's just, the book is the main thing, but authors do have other talents, and we welcome them to share those and sell whatever it is they have to sell that is sort of book related.
Yeah, it's always struck me as interesting that people who are creative in so many different ways. People who are good at writing books are probably also pretty good artists, and they're probably pretty good musicians too. And I'm none of those. Some horrible jealousy going on over at this side of the table.
Oh, no. there is definitely an overlap in the arts. I think of Chris Hadfield, who gets to be an astronaut and a musician and now an author. And there is sort of that sort of overlap. I was very good in the visual arts in school. I didn't go any further with it. And I think there is sort of a barrier with the training as well, because you need the practice, and what do you focus on? I focused on wordsmithing. The sort of, an innate talent is there. I can play by ear when I know how to play an instrument, that sort of thing.
One of the authors on your author list on the website is Jason Baranet.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that name because I interviewed Jason about 2 years ago as part of the band called Athenaus, which is actually Jason's middle name, Jason Athenaus Baranet. And so I'd like to play some of his music, because I found some more of his music that we didn't have in our library and just added that last night. This is from Athenaus, called Kicks in the Night.
Brothers on the horn,
That's Athenaus, fronted by Jason Baronet, who's going to be an author at the Waterloo Book Fest. It isn't the KW Book Fest, is it?
No, Waterloo, but for Waterloo Region.
Waterloo Region Book Fest.
Yes.
Okay, so Jason Baronet will be there, as well as 69 other authors. That's happening on Saturday, September the 9th, from 1 to 7 p.m. So, Waterloo Public Square, be there.
Yes, please come.
Yes. Are you there as an author?
I will be there as an author, yes.
Okay. So you have a book.
I do have a book. I have several books.
You have several books. What kind of books do you write?
I primarily write fantasy, and I am currently putting out a series. It's I started with my debut book, Dragon Whisper, which came out 10 years ago this year.
Wow.
And I got the rights back from the publisher, and I re-released it with covers to match because, you know, matching covers is very pretty on a bookshelf. So I re-released it in March, and the sequel came out in May, and on Tuesday, book three came out.
Book three. Is that the book that I happen to see on the desk here?
That is the book that you happen to see on the desk here.
It's a book called Fireborn by Vanessa Ritchie Thode, available for purchase at the Waterloo Book Fest on Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday next week.
Yes, next Saturday.
Yeah. So you're writing fantasy. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a difficult genre to write in. Because I always fear that authors will pull a sneaky in, you know, just invent something new to get themselves out of a sticky plot corner that they've written themselves into. So having rules set up for your stories ahead of time makes the writing more difficult, in my view.
It can, yes.
Writing is just difficult all around, in my view. So how long does it take you to go through a book like that?
To write one?
Yeah.
It depends entirely. The fastest I have gone was the book I'm hoping to publish after this one, actually. I started planning it in August of 2019, and I had a completed draft by early December of 2019.
Okay. It's not at all like NaNoWriMo, where you do the whole novel in a month.
I did most of the novel in the month. I had the idea in August, and I did my research for it in September, and I did my outline in October. I'm an outliner. This particular outline was something like 20,000 words long, and I had rules for the magic and the characters all figured out and different things for the politics and that sort of thing. So my outlines are extremely detailed. And it does allow me to go very quickly once I do start writing. And it was 110,000 words when I finished it. And I wrote the majority of it during NaNoWriMo in 2019.
Okay. Yeah. And that falls within the requirements for NaNoWriMo. You don't have to start from scratch when you're doing a NaNoWriMo novel.
No, you don't. You can have your outline done. You can even have a few chapters written. You just don't count what you've written before November 1st in your final word count. I hadn't actually started drafting. I started drafting during NaNoWriMo, but I had my outline already done. And I have found that since I started outlining, the work I produce is cleaner. I don't need to do as many drafts, and I don't get stuck.
Ah.
Yes.
Because you outline and out.
Yes. Yeah. Everything's sorted out and figured out in advance, and it makes the actual writing process go much faster for me. I know it doesn't work for everybody. I have some friends who wish they could outline, and they do an outline, and they're like, well, I know how it ends now. I don't care anymore. So
my sister calls that pantsing and plotting.
Yes, yes. There's the pantser-plotter divide, and I have friends who are on the extreme pantsing side of things and wish they could plot, but it kills the interest for them in the book, and I am on the other side where I would just stare at the page if I didn't have some idea of where I was going, and I need the map.
Pantsing from seat of the pants.
Yes, that's where it started from. You're writing by the seat of your pants.
Right. Are the three novels, soon to be four novels, are they sequels to each other?
Yes, they are. So it starts with Dragon Whisper, which was, as I said, was my first book. And then I had actually planned to write Fireborn as the sequel. But in order to get to where the book is and have the sort of story I wanted to tell, a lot of things needed to happen in between. And I just ended up having a whole generation in there, and the main character of the second book, which is called True Flame, is actually the daughter of the main character in Dragon Whisperer. And so my main character in Fireborn is the daughter of the main character of the second book. So I have an intergenerational fantasy novel, a different woman in this family for three books. And then the next book to come out in November has all four of them. Sorry, all three of them together.
So if I were to pick up Fireborn and read it first, does that put me at a disadvantage for not knowing the family lineage?
Slightly, but I do have a synopsis at the beginning of the book that talks about what happens, the major plot points that you would need to know. I've never done this before. I haven't seen it done. I do know another author who does it, and everybody seems to really enjoy that. I actually just read a review somebody had left for the second book saying, oh, I hadn't read the first book, but there was this synopsis. That was fantastic. So I am glad that I've done it. So if anyone wanted to pick up the third book without reading the second book, they absolutely could.
And if somebody wanted to buy the book now before coming to the book fest on Saturday the 9th, how would they get a hold of a copy of your book?
So the ebooks are available, I think, just about everywhere that ebooks are sold. The book is supposed to be coming out on paperback. It is available through Amazon. I'm not entirely sure if it's made it to Indigo yet. Indigo had that problem with their cyber attack back in February, and their back end is still recovering from it. So it does take a while for books to populate, and the last time I checked, mine actually hadn't yet.
Okay. So you have links on your website as well that people can go to?
I do, yes. I use universal buy links. So if you click on the buy now on my website, it'll pop up everywhere that you can find my book.
Okay, and I see, looking at the website, here's Dragon Whisper, Fireborn Series Book 1, and True Flame, Fireborn Series Book 2. And the one you have in front of you is called Fireborn, which is Fireborn Series Book 3.
Correct.
Not having a book in front of me, I can't preview it, but perhaps you could read us a little bit from the book.
Sure.
All right. Vanessa Ritchie Thode in the studio doing a live on-air reading of Fireborn.
All right. So I'm starting a little bit into the book. The main character's name is Spark, and she is on the run. As Spark neared the crest of the latest hill, Shadow halted and flattened his ears, growling a warning from deep in his chest. Spark paused to watch him. He focused on the summit. As Spark turned her head, the night sky erupted over her, blackening everything. Spark slid along the rocks, having lost her footing without realizing. She came to a stop, lying on her back, staring up at a massive black dragon flying overhead, skimming the hilltops. Shadow barked furiously beside her, his feet planted firmly, hackles raised. Trembling, heart pounding, Spark tried to shush him. The dragon heard him and spotted the pair. It dipped its wing, circling around to land nearby. The ground shook under the impact of its landing. Spark stood barely as tall as the dragon's claws. It made Spark feel small, like staring out into the vastness of the night sky. Spark had read a bit in Nanny's books about the dragons and their ways. The females were the biggest ones, so this was a dragoness, like that massive one leading the attack last night. Spark grew cold, her legs wobbly. She doubted running would do any good. This dragon didn't seem a threat, no more than a dragon ever was, at least. It hadn't tried to crush her, or eat her, or hit her with flame, not that the latter would do any good. Trust the dragons. Those were Nanny's words, and they surprised her all over again. Nanny had told her three things about the dragons. Run and hide had been the last. Before that, this gleaming black dragoness was wild, not one sent from Pasdale. How long had it been since Spark had seen a wild dragon? Wild wasn't quite the right word. This dragoness was calm, sharp intelligence glittering in her black eyes. Of course, there were rules to talking to dragons. Spark got an arm around Shadow, wrestling him to silence, and then she bowed her head to the dragoness. Be polite. Rule number one, the first thing Nanny had taught her about dragons. They valued manners above all else. Mistress, Spark croaked with a throat made of sand, your presence honors me. Did it? Spark pushed aside the wayward thought and focused on the beast, squeezing Shadow to hide how she trembled. The dragoness snorted at Spark's words. It sounded sarcastic. The dragoness moved forward and lay her chin on the ground. Her teeth gleamed against her impossible black scales, and Spark tried not to notice that those teeth were almost as tall as her. It hurt to look at the dragoness. She was so black, Spark could barely discern her features. It made Spark dizzy, even dizzier than the lack of water. She'll go for fire first. That was Nanny's voice, another thing Nanny had taught her early on. Spark didn't fear the dragon's fire, but Shadow wouldn't survive it. Could she shield him? Maybe she could get him under the fire cloak. We mean you no harm. Spark squeezed her eyes shut and huddled against Shadow, who was shaking, teeth bared. Spark buried her face in his fur and clung to him, trying to keep him still and stop her spinning head. But Shadow yipped and thrashed and squirmed free of her grasp. She reached to catch him, commanding him to stop, but he bolted. Spark looked up in time to see why. The dragoness was up, reaching for Spark. She startled, but her fingers found the grip on her axe. As she raised it, she realized it wouldn't do a bit of good. The axe was designed for battling people, not dragons. Her little axe would be no more than a mosquito bite to this dragoness, not that it could pierce dragon skin. Spark scrabbled backward, but the dragoness's clawed hand closed around her and lifted her off the ground. Her grip was firm, but gentle. But then she turned her attention toward Shadow, who was retreating and barking. Spark gripped the axe tighter. "Please don't hurt him. He's just a dog, and he's all I've got left." The dragoness held Spark up to her face, black head tilted and dark eyes widening. The recognizable expression on the dragoness's face stilled Spark. She held her breath. First sarcasm, now this. Nanny's books insisted the dragons had personalities. This was just the first Spark had actually seen of it. The dragons in Pasdale certainly didn't show any signs of being any different than sheep. Dangerous sheep. And so many people in Pasdale insisted dragons were nothing more than hungry, fiery monsters. Spark would have loved for those fools to see this dragoness, with her surprise and her concern and her sense of humor. The dragoness looked toward Pasdale, every part of her utterly still, like she'd turned to stone, a mountain of obsidian holding Spark in its grip. She sighed, a hot gale rushing past Spark, and though the dragoness hadn't moved, Spark swore she drooped. "You were on your way to Pasdale, weren't you? Why?" The dragoness swung her great head toward Spark, narrowing her eyes and baring her teeth. "I don't mean to question your intentions," Spark said quickly, stumbling over her words in her haste. "But there's nothing there but death. You don't want to go there. It's awful." A sob hitched on Spark's words, but she held her breath and forced it back. The dragoness looked toward Pasdale, clearly sagging this time, her dark features darkening even more.
That's Fireborn, read to us by Vanessa Ritchie Thode, live in the studio at CKMS Community Connection. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We don't have nearly enough spoken word prose on the radio. It's almost all music, and what isn't music is probably news.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful thing to get fiction read on the radio.
Fantastic.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And I guess that's an invitation to everybody out there who's listening, who's an author, who would like to get their material on the radio. You know, send us an email, office@radiowaterloo.ca, and just indicate that you'd be interested in coming on the radio to pitch your book, to read some of your book on the air, to let us know how your journey as an author is going.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Invitation is open. So let us know, office@radiowaterloo.ca. So you've done this. Have you done readings before? Have you been out to places to let people listened to you read your books?
I have, yeah. I started 10 years ago when Dragon Whisperer first came out. I did a reading at my book launch. I do readings here and there when I can. I haven't done any in a while, obviously. No new material until this year, and then the pandemic doesn't help. But I will be doing more readings in the future. I think I am slated for one. I'll be at CanCon in Ottawa, and I think I'm doing a reading there. They're still finalizing the schedule, so I'm just like, I think and maybe. But, and other events, yeah.
Okay. We need some more regular venues for that in Waterloo region, I think. I mean, the library has readings every once in a while, inviting authors to come in.
Yes, a reading series would be fantastic. I know there are some in Toronto, and actually one of our partners who's been helping us with BookFest is a Riverside Reading Series in Paris. And they do outdoor readings and also have, through the winter, they do them in a cafe. And it is something that Caroline and I are sort of looking at is how to do something similar here. Again, it is a lot of work and there is literally just the two of us doing all of this. So around life and day jobs and that sort of thing.
Right.
So
right. Because this is a hobby thing for you. This is not a paying venture.
No. The organizing that I do is very purely volunteer right now, so.
Yeah. I see on the KW Writers Alliance website that it's the Grand River Writers and KW Writers Alliance.
Yes, we're still sort of deciding on our branding, and we don't want to limit ourselves strictly to Waterloo region, and so we are sort of looking at, which is why also with Bookfest we have authors coming from a little bit outside the region. E.K. Johnson is in Stratford. She worked here for a time. I think she may have grown up here. Our main thing is, you know, we're definitely not Toronto. We're not, you know, if you're in Toronto, Toronto has all kinds of great things to help their arts community. We are focused on the smaller communities here and closer to Waterloo, but not it doesn't have to necessarily be Waterloo itself, because there are smaller communities even outside our own townships that can use the support. So yeah, we're trying to see how we can make partnerships farther out work.
Okay. And then bring them all in under the umbrella of the Writers Alliance.
Yeah. So that's something we're working on, and we keep shooting ideas back and forth and trying to decide how best to make that work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what's in store for KW Writers Alliance and Grand River Writers? What are you doing after Bookfest is all packed up and closed off?
We are talking with Indigo right now about events that we can have at the store there. Primarily the Conestoga location, Conestoga Mall location. We're talking with them right now. And we are always trying to facilitate other events that other organizations are putting together. We do have some tentative plans with the libraries to do some more panels and workshops. And we are going to be working with the Community Edition, who is one of our sponsors for this event, and working on workshops with them that we would hold through the libraries as well. And we're looking at things including, you know, improving your craft and expanding what kind of craft, you know, your genres from fiction to nonfiction and everything in between and everything under those two genres. And also publishing, because it's changing quite a bit.
Teaching people how to navigate the publishing world.
Yes. It's getting harder to do the traditional route, but it's also changing very quickly if you want to do self-publishing. And there are so many scams all along the way, and trying to get writers to avoid the scams, because there's quite the industry on making money off of writers, and I'm not here for it.
No. You said something about workshops as well. So aside from teaching authors the business of the business, what sort of things would you workshop?
It depends on the genre that we're targeting, but we teach things like finding your voice and even how to write. There are some people who don't even know where to begin, how to plan. We did... Before NaNoWriMo, I think it was last year or the year before, we did a workshop just on, you know, this is what planning looks like. This is, you know, what we do to prepare to write. Even if you're not a planner, how you can set yourself up for success, what sort of books you can use as resources to help guide you once you get started. Yeah, between the two of us, we've got a lot of experience. And as our network grows, we can pull in other subject matter experts to help us with these workshops and really focus it so that we can help authors across genres and at different stages in their careers.
These are the sort of things that you're planning on doing with Community Edition and the Indigo Bookshop?
So we're not too sure with Indigo yet. We were talking a little bit about doing some readings or some signings. That's just getting started.
Okay.
The Community Edition, we are also just in the brainstorming phase of what can we do with workshops and what sort of expertise we have and who we could call upon and that sort of thing. So we're doing a lot of brainstorming right now. For me personally, I think for Caroline as well, a lot of our focus is on Bookfest at the moment.
Yes.
And so in another week or two, once we have, you know, the event is over and we've had some time to decompress, we'll get together and we'll start talking a little bit more about, okay, now what? And workshops are always things we're at the top of mind. If I know Caroline is running a retreat in Niagara-on-the-Lake, I'm not sure if she has any spaces left in it, but these are, again, things all over that we do.
Okay. Hour's up.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Goes fast, doesn't it?
It was fast, yes.
Quick recap of what's happening next weekend.
All right. So 1 to 7 p.m. Waterloo Public Square on September 9th. We will have authors selling their books around 70, and we will have performers there to entertain. It'll be a great time. I hope you come out.
Book readings and Q&As. Excellent.
Yes.
Been talking to Vanessa Ritchie-Thode here at CKMS Community Connections for the 1st of September 2023. My name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo, sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Stager. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 a.m. and alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. See you next week.